Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Mother Earth News, October-November 2024, and Real Simple Magazine, October 2024. Let's get started with Mother Earth News. Plastic recycling is broken. It's time to take a long, hard, honest look at the plastic crisis, by Patrice Lewis. Of all green living recommendations, recycling is perhaps one of the most cherished. It's a guilt-free way to enjoy the benefits of modern products, mostly plastic food and beverage containers, without contributing further to environmental degradation. Or so we're led to believe. Unfortunately, plastic recycling isn't what it seems. Recycling on a municipal level has been around for well over a century. Informal recycling, of course, is much older. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, it was common for glass beverage bottles to be returned to the facility for sterilization and reuse. Scrap metal was collected for melting down and repurposing. Even restaurant fats could be made into soaps and other products. In the aftermath of World War II, Americans fell for the marketing magic of disposable products as sanitary alternatives to their reusable and washable counterparts. Trash output ratcheted up accordingly. And when disposable plastic food and beverage containers hit the market, things took an even worse turn. Unlike paper conveniences that, in theory, break down into compost, no such claim could be made about plastic, which derives from natural gas and crude oil. In our modern society, even the most ardent zero-waste environmentalists can hardly avoid plastic packaging, even in the form of upstream waste, the resources it took for a product to get to the consumer. From a manufacturer's perspective, plastic containers are the perfect solution. They're durable, waterproof, and lightweight, the very qualities that make them such a bane of landfills. Collectively, the plastics manufacturing industry is powerful. It lobbies or litigates any legislation that might put restrictions on its products. Recycling was supposed to be the ultimate solution to the plastics issue, and conveniently for the manufacturers, transferred the burden of waste from producer to consumer. Can plastic be recycled? The theory is that we collect plastic containers, turn them over to specialized facilities, and presto, they're magically turned into more plastic products. The truth is less glossy. Unlike metal or glass, which can be recycled over and over without losing its quality, plastic is far more complex and limited. Not all plastics are created equal, and this affects whether recycling them is cost-effective. If there's no market for the product, the recycled plastic will be discarded. Just because it has the Chasing Arrow logo doesn't mean it'll actually get recycled. The recycling codes for plastics fall into 7 categories. As a general rule of thumb, the higher the number, the more difficult it'll be for the material to be recycled. Number 1, polyethylene terephthalate, PET or PETE. This common, easy-to-recycle type of plastic is accepted by most municipal recycling programs. It's found in disposable food and drink containers, including prepared and frozen food containers and water and soda bottles. Number 2, high-density polyethylene, HDPE. The non-transparent plastic is also widely accepted in municipal recycling programs. It's commonly found in household cleaner bottles, some food containers, and cutting boards. Number 3, polyvinyl chloride, PVC. PVC is more difficult to recycle than PET and HDPE. This type of plastic can be found in children's toys and a variety of bottles, including detergent and shampoo. Number 4, low-density polyethylene, LDPE. This soft, flexible type of plastic is commonly used to make thin plastic bags. Check to make sure it's accepted locally, as it can clog up recycling machines. Grocery stores will often accept LDPE products. Number 5. Polypropylene, PP. This plastic can be found in straws, soft drink cups, and certain food containers. PP plastic can be recycled, but check to make sure it's accepted locally. Number 6. Polystyrene, PS, also known as styrofoam. PS plastic is commonly found in takeout containers and disposable cups. It's generally not accepted by recycling programs. Number 7. Other. These include bisphenol A, BPA, polycarbonate, and bio-based plastics. Products made from a single material, such as water bottles, are easiest to recycle. Products made from more than one material, such as coffee cups with thin plastic coating or snack bar packaging, are much more difficult to separate, and recycling facilities usually discard them. Cleanliness is also a factor. Plastic containers with food residue can't be recycled, so wash those containers before putting them in the bin. Even recyclable plastic downgrades each time it's recycled. Plastic is composed of long chains of atoms called polymers, which are arranged in repeating units. Most recycling processes involve crushing and grinding the plastics, which frays and snaps the fibers and shortens the polymer chains. Plastic can only go through 2 or 3 such processes before it's useless. For this reason, even recycled plastic items have virgin plastic added during the manufacturing process. Remember, all plastic recycling competes with new plastic products in the marketplace. If the final recycled product is too expensive or too low quality, it can't compete. Why doesn't plastic decompose? There are two types of decomposition: biotic, broken down by living organisms, such as bacteria, and abiotic, chemical or physical erosion by such processes as wind or water. Biotic decomposition doesn't happen in plastics because the chemical bonds linking the atoms in the polymers are more complicated than those found in nature. As a result, bacteria can't break the links. Plastics can break down abiotically over a long time, but they'll never truly go away. This is where the microplastic and nanoplastic crisis originate, in which tiny particles of plastic are consumed by animals or embedded in soil. Nanoplastics have been found in fruits and vegetables after passing through plant roots. They've been found in nearly every human organ, and they can even pass to infants through breast milk. For many years, higher-income Western nations solved their plastic problem by shipping waste overseas to lower-income nations with fewer environmental regulations, where it was often incinerated or buried if it couldn't be turned into raw materials. China was one of the biggest takers of this waste, accepting more than half of the world's recycled plastic for the past quarter century. But this short-term solution preluded a larger environmental crisis looming on the horizon. In 2018, China instigated a ban on accepting plastic waste, dropping its imports by 99%. This decision sent officials in Western nations into a panic. In the U.S., bales of recyclable, single-use plastic started stacking up in warehouses all over the country. Many were buried in landfills or incinerated because, after all, what else could be done with them? Local governments and recycling processors scrambled to find new markets in the wake of the Chinese ban, and many suspended their recycling programs altogether. In the wake of that ban, researchers published a study in the journal Science Advances measuring the global impact China's ban on plastics would create. They found an estimated cumulative 111 million metric tons of plastic waste will be displaced by 2030. After this, the plastic waste import market shifted to Southeast Asian nations, including Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, and Vietnam. Parts of these relatively small countries are now literally buried under mountains of the world's plastic waste and are reconsidering their import policies. Some have already revoked permits. In more recent years, countries in Eastern Europe, such as Turkey, have also imported plastic waste. How much plastic is actually recycled? Given all these restrictions, the amount of plastic that's actually recycled is probably a lot lower than you think. According to studies on plastic pollution, only about 9% of all the plastic ever produced has been recycled. Instead, the majority of it has ended up in landfills or the natural environment, with about 4 to 12 metric tons of plastic entering the ocean each year. Less than 5% of plastics in the U.S. are recycled into new products. Reasons include a lack of market, limited processing facilities, expensive technical investments, and not enough large-scale processors. Without many options, recycling facilities are increasingly turning to landfills or incinerators. Some DIYers are taking recycling into their own hands by melting high-density polyethylene, HDPE, and reshaping it into new things. HDPE plastics are popular for DIYers because they melt at low temperatures and don't give off toxic fumes. Tools needed for this process include heat-resistant gloves, molds, clamps, scissors, or a utility knife, and baking paper. More advanced projects may require other tools, such as a bandsaw or lathe. Some items DIYers have made include toys, pens, kitchen tiles, and replacement components such as wheels, pulleys, and gears. There are endless YouTube tutorials on melting and shaping HDPE plastics, and it's well worth investigating. So does recycling make a difference? Yes and no. Studies have shown that post-consumer paper, cardboard, and metals prove recycling can be an effective way to reclaim valuable material resources. But plastic recycling is still a failure, despite the best efforts of the plastics industry to perpetuate the myth that it's a success. In fact, plastic recycling has never lived up to the promises made by the industry leaders. What's being done today? There are rays of hope amid the darkness of the plastic crisis. Scientists have discovered that certain fungi are able to digest synthetic polymer polyester polyurethane, PUR, and convert it into organic matter in both solid and liquid surroundings. These bioremediation discoveries suggest the possibility of using fungi to address plastic waste in both landfill and ocean environments. Other fungi have been found to consume PUR in a manner similar to fermentation. In fact, the common and edible oyster mushroom has shown itself capable of decomposing plastic while still creating an edible mushroom, opening the doors to possible at-home recycling systems. Additionally, scientists have found bacteria munching on plastic in dumps. The bacteria harvest the plastic's carbon for energy, breaking down plastic fully and processing it into basic nutrients. Other bacteria found deep in landfills have broken down decades-old plastic. To accomplish this, the bacteria used enzymes to break down polyethylene terephthalate, PET, the most common plastic in clothing and packaging. While researchers are investigating how to best exploit these bacteria, the process is currently too slow to have a meaningful effect on plastic waste. Scientists are attempting to tweak the critical enzymes to make them work faster, which brings its own set of ethical dilemmas, including concerns about releasing altered bacteria into the environment. There's also a boom in so-called bioprospecting among microbiologists to find faster and better alternatives in nature. However, no one has yet found this holy grail of fast-acting plastic-eating microbe. Microbial action may also be the key to efficient recycling of plastic. A French company named Carbios uses a bacterial enzyme process on PET plastics to break down the material to its precursor molecules, allowing it to be infinitely recycled, as glass and aluminum are. While the process is currently small in scale, larger facilities are being built, but this process is energy intensive. For decades, Americans have been trained to feel good by dropping their single-use plastics into the recycling bin. But until such time as sustainable solutions exist on a wide scale, the best thing we can do to feel good is to avoid using plastic whenever possible in the first place. Patrice Lewis has practiced and written about self-reliance and preparedness for almost 30 years. She's experienced in homestead animal husbandry and small-scale dairy production, food preservation and canning, country relocation, home-based businesses, homeschooling, personal money management, and food self-sufficiency. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Pollution to evolution. Discover creative solutions to our plastic problem and explore the worldwide efforts that have taken place to overcome this crisis with the book Transforming Plastic. In this timely read, author Albert Bates discusses how people around the globe are transforming plastic pollution into a tool for social justice, profitable business, healthier people, and a healthier planet. He also shares an abundance of tips and techniques that you can implement to live with less plastic in your own life, find viable alternatives, and safely dispose of the plastic you already have. This title is available at store.MotherEarthNews.com or by calling 800-234-3368. That's 800-234-3368. Item number 9452. That concludes Plastic Recycling is Broken. Now we'll move on to Real Simple Magazine. Minor issues, major opinions. Should you use paper towels or the hand dryer in a public restroom? Everyone's got thoughts. We collected yours, then called on the experts to settle the debate once and for all. By Naomi Barr. Readers say, paper towels. I'm a paper towel user. Then I turn off the faucet and open the door with it. I count on no one to wash their hands. Instagram, Tan Jam McGuckian. I would rather wipe my hands on my pants than use the germ blower. Instagram, Margie SME. Hand dryer. I use paper towels because my kids don't like the loud noise the hand dryer makes. Sans kids, I use the hand dryer to reduce waste. Instagram, Alyssa B. Hand dryers keep restrooms clean from trash everywhere, so I use them. We're so scared of germs in this society. Instagram, Karen, GARCES.7. It doesn't matter. Something is better than nothing. As long as you wash your hands, it's a step in the right direction. Instagram, Ilana Siegel, 18. I really don't know what the big deal is. I'm almost 50 years old and I've used both. Not dead yet. Instagram, AV8K8. The experts say, we have to hand it to air dryers, specifically high-speed versions, like the Dyson Airblade and XL Accelerator. Germ-wise, paper towels and dryers are basically tied. A 2020 meta-analysis of 23 studies comparing the two suggests that neither poses a serious viral or bacterial risk, says Kelly Reynolds, Ph.D., Director of the Environment, Exposure Science, and Risk Assessment Center at the University of Arizona, and lead author of the analysis. Overall, there was less contamination with paper towels, but we found that the difference wasn't significant. When you consider the environmental impact, however, high-speed dryers win. According to an MIT study from 2013, machines that can dry hands in 10 to 15 seconds have the least impact on the environment. Here's the rub. Not all dryers work that fast. We looked at a variety of scenarios, including those where people used conventional hand dryers for less than 30 seconds, and they left with damp hands, says Jeremy Gregory, PhD, Executive Director of the MIT Climate and Sustainability Consortium, and lead author of the study. Which brings us to a germier rub. Moist hands absorb more bacteria than dry hands, says Sandra Wilkes, PhD, a microbiologist, and associate professor at the University of Southampton in England. The drying process isn't the problem. More important is washing your hands properly, then drying your hands thoroughly before you exit. So if there's a speedy machine, have at it. Otherwise, grab a towel. That concludes, should you use paper towels or the hand dryer in a public restroom? Modern Manners, Advice for Your Social Quandaries, by Hoda Kopp and Jenna Bush Hager. Richard asks, we live in a neighborhood with a lot of mature trees and no fences. Our house is new and doesn't have any trees, but due to the direction of the wind, our lot ends up being the resting place for the bulk of our neighbor's leaves, meaning fall leaf pickup is either a big chore or a big expense for us. Should we keep quiet and just deal with disposing dozens of lawn bags or spending hundreds of dollars to hire someone, or can we ask our neighbors to help? Hoda Kopp. Well, it's not the neighbor's fault that the wind blows toward you. I think you may just have to suck it up and deal with the leaf removal. Jenna Bush Hager. Yeah, part of being in a community is doing things for others. Think about it. When they do something for you, that counts as returning the favor. HK. In a perfect world, neighbors help each other. One day, it'll snow and someone might help you shovel. I would handle the leaf removal on your own. Pay someone to do it if you can. If you don't have a couple $100, I understand. You might have to do it yourself. And who knows, maybe a neighbor will see you out there and join in. Shelley asks, my husband and I were ghosted by a person we've hung out with for years. She was never especially nice to me, and she has tried, sometimes successfully, to turn other people in our group against us. We are grown adults in our 50s. We've reached out to her several times to ask what we can do to fix our friendship, but she's always too busy. We have a small community event coming up, and I know it will be very hard. How should I behave that night without wearing my heart on my sleeve? JBH. I think ignoring her is the best possible answer because it seems like she's trying to get a rise out of you. HK. If you've reached out multiple times and it hasn't worked, then you just have to be full of pleasantries moving forward. You have to let it go. Remind yourself that sometimes relationships have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It seems like this relationship is over, and now you have to accept that. But her turning other people against you is not cool. JBH. It's really not. Maybe say, hey, I heard you said this, and I just want you to know I don't appreciate it. I'm not here for a fight, and we don't need to be best friends. But we all have to play in the sandbox together. And let's appreciate the friends who outed her for trying to turn them against you. Mom-to-be asks, after several years of difficult IVF, I am so excited to finally be pregnant. While I'm over the moon about our first baby, I'm a little disappointed that neither a close friend nor my sister has volunteered to throw me a baby shower, especially since I excitedly hosted showers for them. Are showers reciprocal? Do I have a right to be upset? JBH. I get why you're bothered by this. It's probably not a slight, and I think you could say, I would love it if y'all threw me a little something. HK, I'm actually wondering if they're planning on surprising you. Yeah, maybe they have something planned. It's okay to ask. My sister Barbara asked me if we could do something to celebrate her baby, and it didn't bother me. If these are your closest people, you should feel comfortable telling them what you want. HK, that's right, just say, this is such a moment for me, and I'd love it if my friends got together. They might say they've already got something planned, or they might apologize and explain how busy they've been. Either way, I'm guessing they'll want to celebrate with you. Pamela asks, A dear friend of mine is a dental hygienist. After a meal, she feels the need to immediately floss. She does this at the dinner table in a restaurant or as soon as we get in the car. Yuck! I feel like she should do this in the restroom, and I have told her so. Is this cool or not? Thanks for your input. HK, flossing your teeth while sitting at the table is not cool. JBH, no, it's not. HK, I think you can say that everyone has their bugaboo, and yours is teeth. That's how you should lay it out. Say it's your issue, to kind of put it more on you and less on her. She might accept that more than if you essentially called her gross. JBH, I think saying the word bugaboo in any sentence makes things light. Tone is everything when you're addressing something personal like this. Remember, this is a dear friend, and she's alienating people around her when there's a perfectly good bathroom nearby. About Hoda and Jenna. The hosts of Today with Hoda and Jenna, these two have been dishing out honest, heartfelt advice on air for years. They also interview celebrities, pass along feel-good stories, and have a ridiculous amount of fun. Watch them live on weekdays at 10 a.m. ET. If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.